Mark chapter 2 in your Bibles here this morning. Mark chapter number 2. Boy, the music's been good today. Choir, outstanding job. What a blessing. Really appreciated that special, the offertory. Thank you, ladies, for working on that and doing that today. What a blessing that was. The special music right before the preaching. I enjoyed hearing myself sing this morning. I thought I did a great job over here. I just want to give myself a pat on the back. I was only out of tune 20 times during the two songs, so that's up for me percentage-wise. It's good to have you in church this morning. I enjoy church, love being in the house of God where we can enjoy the warm fellowship of God's people. And you can actually smile and know people are going to smile back at you and mean it. Amen. And mean it. And for a place where you love people in Christ. Before I got into church, I wouldn't have known what that meant. You know, for someone to say, I love you in Christ. That would sound a little mushy to me or maybe a little bit kind of weird to me. But after serving the Lord and being around God's people, boy, I know what that means. There's no greater love than you can have for someone to love him in Christ. That's an unconditional love. That's a love that isn't based upon performance. It's not based upon being a good friend to me or being someone that I can go out and have coffee with or you can go out and go shopping with. It's the fact that we have Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. We're God's children. We're going to be in heaven together. And hey, we're going to be up there forever. We might as well get along while we're down here for a little bit as well. Mark chapter number 2. Question. Do you care enough to help carry others? Do you care enough to help carry others? Father, please bless today. Oh, please bless this message that it might be a help. In Jesus' name, amen. No city in all Palestine appears to have enjoyed so much of Christ's presence during his earthly ministry as the city of Capernaum. Capernaum did. It was a special place to Christ. It was the place that Christ primarily resided after he left Nazareth. As a matter of fact, there's one account in the Gospels where the city of Capernaum was categorized as his city. It became his home or his headquarters. So it was a very, very privileged city. And multitudes, this was a city where many of his miracles were worked. No people probably, percentage-wise, got to see more miracles than did the people of Capernaum. Probably no people got to hear more of his preaching and more of his sermons as did the people of Capernaum. Can you imagine being a resident of that city and Jesus making that his hometown? Once he left Nazareth, he moved there and now he wandered around in different villages and different towns. But he always came back to Capernaum. That became like his home away from home. And the many multitudes would come to Capernaum to hear him preach and to watch his miracles or to be helped by him. Notice verses 1 and 2, the fame that had already spread in such a short period of time. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. You know, it's a good thing when church has a reputation of Jesus being in the house, amen, where Christ is what draws people, where the gospel what draws people, where Bible preaching and folks that love the Lord and where people can get helped by Christ, when that's what draws people. So it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And straightway, verse 2, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. I'm glad that the fire marshal wasn't part of that crowd that day. They might have shut down the meeting that Jesus had. And he preached the word unto them. Now, these folks were amazed by his miracles, but sadly, too many of them were unchanged by the truth he preached. What a privileged group of people the citizens of Capernaum were, in that they got to hear him preach probably more than anyone else. And they got to watch the miracles perform maybe more than anyone else. But at the same time, too much is given, much is required. And many of them were stirred, but they weren't changed. You know, they were emotionally given to what they were seeing and perhaps emotionally touched to what they were hearing. But maybe they would walk away and they wouldn't be any different than when they came. You know, I want to say this. When we come to church and when we're in the presence of God, he doesn't want to just stir us emotionally. He doesn't just want us to get worked up emotionally. He wants to change our lives. And he wants us to be changed for the glory of God. Not just stirred, but changed. One Bible teacher said this about Capernaum. Never was there a people so highly favored as the people of Capernaum. And never was there a people who appear to have become so hard. And they drew from our Lord the heaviest condemnation that he ever pronounced against any place except Jerusalem. In Matthew 11, here's what Jesus said about Capernaum. And thou, Capernaum, verses 23 and 24 of Matthew 11, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, remember how wicked of a place Sodom was, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. You know, too much is given, much is required. Now, this is not the main part of my message, but I feel it's important enough to say it right here. In America, we've been so blessed. In the United States of America, we have been so blessed to have in our history, not just made-up history, not just embellished history, but factual history, God's hand all over this country. Now, there are a lot of stains on our history, no question. There are a lot of things this nation has done wrong, no question about that. We are a nation of sinners at the same time. But this nation has been uniquely blessed by God in such a way. You think about the churches that God has raised up in this country. You think about the missionaries that God has sent out from this country. You think about the revivals that have taken place, the Great Awakening, great evangelists like Charles Finney and D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday, and on we can go, where this has been a nation where our national motto is, in God we trust. And that was never meant to be Muhammad or never meant to be Buddha, but it was without question, in God we trust was always understood to be the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ we trust. You go down to our capital, even though they say separation of church and state, you know, go down to the D.C., go down to some of those monuments and you know, Jefferson Memorial, and you'll see scripture, you'll see all throughout our nation's history. How blessed we are. How blessed we are to have the Word of God like we do and have it so plentiful, as I mentioned in an announcement of the Bible. I mean, many of us probably have 10 Bibles, 15 Bibles, 20 Bibles in our homes. We got Bibles on our phones. We got Bibles on our computers. We have Bibles on our tabs. I mean, we have Bibles everywhere. Too much is given. Much is required. I believe God's going to hold this nation highly accountable for how much He's blessed us. I believe He's going to hold you and I, as folks that have lived here, highly accountable. Well, I'd love to live to Capernaum, some would say. You know, a lot of people look and say, I'd love to live in the United States. It's taking advantage of the opportunities God gives to us. And that brings us to the story, and it dovetails into that. In our text is recorded a beautiful story of four men bringing their needy friend to a miracle. This is the whole idea of why God has blessed us, and to be able to make a difference for eternity in the lives of others, to be able to use the resources, to use the freedom we have, to use the technologies at our disposal, to use the talent that has been is around our nation, to be able to use the time. People live to be older now than ever before. People are healthier, older now than ever before. They say that 40 is the new 30 and 50 is the new 40. You say, I've not heard that before. I've heard it twice in the mouth of two witnesses. Hey, I'm going to claim that. Amen. 40 is the new 30 and 50 is the new 40. I mean, people are living longer today. People are healthier, older than ever before. I mean, it's just this nation has been so blessed. And why has God done that for and allow us to have so many things? Is it just for us and ours and for here and now? But I contend it's to make a difference in the lives of others for all eternity. I want to say, first of all, there's always a need of burden bearers. There's a need of burden bearers. Look at verse 1, 2, and 3 of chapter number 2, where the Bible says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. I like that Jesus was a preacher. And they come unto him. Now this is talking about the four friends, one bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. You know, one of the greatest problems plaguing modern day Christianity is that of being so overly consumed with our own burdens that we are not caring for the burdens of others. Let me say that again. One of the greatest problems plaguing modern day Christianity is that of being so overly consumed with our own burdens that we're not caring for the burdens of others. I'm not minimizing our burdens this morning. Please know that. I'm not minimizing our hurts. I'm not minimizing our trials. I'm not minimizing our struggles. I'm not minimizing the burden that you carry. You're here this morning, and maybe only God knows the level of the burden that's on your heart. You may smile on the outside, but on the inside you're hurting. On the inside you're lonely. On the inside there's pain. Hey, listen, that may be true today, and God knows I'm not minimizing that. Hey, life can throw things at us in such a way that it takes a long time to recover, and I want to be very careful in not minimizing that. But I want to tell you this morning, we need to bring value to our burdens by allowing that hurt and allowing those burdens and allowing those trials to cause us not to turn inward, but to turn upward, and where we are more humble and more broken and more available, and say, God, if you can use me through this, I want to bring honor and glory to you. But people today are so consumed with our own burdens, it just occupies all of our emotions and all of our times, and all we can think about is ourselves. Remember years ago, my wife and I were counseling a lady that was in clinically depressed. This has been many, many years ago. Just clinically depressed. And she was on all kinds of medication. Suicidal. She had some bad things that happened in her adult life. But she had a lot of good things going on too. But she quit her job. She was hibernating in her house and just very depressed. And so we spent a lot of time with her, and one of the things that we would encourage her to do is to find ways to be a blessing to others. We would say to her, you know, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, there's a double meaning in that verse. I can do all things through Christ. Anything God commands me to do, anything God wants me to do, I can do those things through Christ. Why? Because He'll strengthen me to do it. Whatever God commands me to do, He'll enable me to do if I trust in Him. But let me say there's another meaning, maybe not the primary, but it's equally true, that the things that I do for Christ strengthen me. Not only will Christ strengthen me to do the things He commands me to do, but while I do those things He commands me to do, He gives me the strength to do them. And not only to do the things for others, but He leaves some strength over for myself. The very things that I do for Christ are what will strengthen me. And we encourage this, dear lady, hey listen, you're not ready to get out of your house and help serve others, but can't you write some cards? Can't you write some notes? Can't you make some phone calls? Can't you think of some other people? Can't you make a meal now and then? If you know someone that's having a hard time, or someone that has a burden, maybe not as bad as yours, maybe not as big as yours, and you know that, and God knows that, but why don't you try to make a meal for someone now and then? Why don't you send a card now and then? Why don't you write a note now and then? And then we began to encourage her when she was coming to church. Hey, quit waiting for people to come to you and shake your hand and leave in church depressed because you're the black sheep of the church and no one will talk to you. Why don't you start talking to some people? Why don't you shake a couple hands? And when we encouraged her to get out and start to serve others, and that, this doesn't take away her burden, but it'll change the way she carried it. And for a while there, she did such a great job, and she was doing those things, and she was coming out of her shell, and when she was smiling more, was more happier, and there was a lot of things that were going on in her life positively as she began to focus less on her own burdens. See, right now, if you're here this morning and you're battling depression, you can pop a pill and that'll help you for a little bit. Or with a tear in your eye and swallowing hard in your throat, you can find someone else that's going through a tough time and you can be a blessing. Turn with me to keep your place in Mark chapter 2, but turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Boy, there's a need of burden bearers. The story, as you're turning to Galatians 6, the story has been told, often told of, about the message the founder of the Salvation Army, General William Booth, sent to their international convention. General William Booth was unable to personally attend because he was sick, he had bad health. So he cabled the delegates a message containing one word. Others. 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 Well, how we need an others Christianity again. How we need a revival of others Christianity again. Where this is not about me and not about mine and not about what God does for me, what God provides for me, and how God takes care of me. But oh, that my Christianity and my life would be lived for others, others, others. In the popular comic strip Peanuts, Lucy asks Charlie Brown, "Why are we here on earth?" And he replies, "Well, that's easy, to make others happy." Lucy ponders this for a moment and then asks, "Then why are the others here?" You ever feel like that? If I'm here to make others happy, then why are the others here for? Do you ever think that God has a purpose for your life that involves other people? Is it possible? Is it possible that God has left you here and the reason why you're here is so that He could use you in the lives of others? He could use you spiritually in the lives of others. He can use you emotionally as a support to strengthen, to be a blessing to those around you. In Galatians 6, verse 1 through 3, we find a demonstration of true spiritual strength and maturity. Notice what the Bible says. "But brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," what does the Bible say? "Restore." This is a medical term. It's like the idea if you have a broken bone and you go in and you get it fixed, you get it, I don't know what that word I'm looking for, but you put back into place, they restore it. And the idea is someone's made some mistakes, someone who has been overtaken in a fault, it's their own fault, it's their problem, they've not done right because of spiritual immaturity. But if we're spiritually mature, we should do what we can to reach out to them, try to help them get back into place, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Of pride. In the spirit of what? Arrogancy. In the spirit of what? Meekness. "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." But then he goes on to say, "Bear ye one another's burdens." Bear each other's burdens. Is my life only about my burdens? My marriage, my children, my finances, my job, my health, my mom, my brothers and sisters, my kids, my grandkids? Is that what my life is? Just that? You know, we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to be on the lookout. We're going to be a lookout for people that have needs. We're going to be prayerfully looking for ways we can be a blessing. We as God's children shouldn't just be waiting for things to come and land on our doorstep. We ought to be praying and asking God, "Is there someone that I can be a help to? Is there someone that needs my encouragement? Is there someone that can use my prayers, can use a note of encouragement, can use a kind word of encouragement? Is there someone that I need a mentor and reach out to and disciple and help grow in the faith? Hey, is there someone that's lost that I need to buckle down and begin to fast and pray for them to get saved? No more just praying, but fast and pray for them to get saved. Is there someone that needs me to pray for them to get back into the will of God or get back on topside spiritually? But oh, God, may I not go week after week and day after day with no tears for others and no heartache for others and no burden for others." I'm telling you, every child of God ought to be a burden person. And not just our own burdens. If I were to ask you this morning, who's on your heart today? Who's on your heart today? Who have you been praying for this week? Every one of us should have at least one person. And it can't be you. Though you're on our hearts. And you're who we pray for. That's ministry. How do you minister? Well, how did Christ minister? He served people. There's ministry all around us because there are people with needs all around us. There are broken lives all around us. There are broken hearts all around us. There's ministry at work. There's ministry in your neighborhood. There's ministry in your family. There's ministry certainly through a church. There's ministry all around us because everywhere we turn, there are people with broken hearts. There are people with broken dreams. There are people that have scars and have failed and have messed up and don't think they're worth anything anymore. But maybe you can give them a word of encouragement. Hey, maybe God could use you to tell them, hey, listen, this is not the end of the line for you. There's hope in Christ, and you can show them a more perfect way. He goes on to say, for a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So here we find spiritual maturity demonstrated. And then verse 4 and 5, notice what the Bible says. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now this is not a contradiction in the Bible. Because it's a different word used for the word burden in verse 2 and the word burden in verse 5 are two different words. The one in verse number 2 is the idea of a very heavy load, something that's more than a person can bear on their own. But the word burden in the verse number 5 is the idea of a soldier's backpack. In other words, there are certain things that I should not put on anyone else that are my responsibility. So I'm not a burden to anyone else. I mean, I want to be able to bear someone else's burdens. But if I can't even pack my own backpack, if I can't carry my own backpack, how can I help you carry the load that's too heavy for you? So verses 4 and 5, Paul's not contradicting verse 1 through 3, but he's saying, look, take care of yourself, be meek, be humble about how you're living your life, because we all can make mistakes. You get proud and arrogant, you start being judgmental on other people, you're the next one to fall. But be humble about this, but take care of your own responsibilities. Dot your own I's, cross your own T's, parent yourself spiritually. Don't be someone that others got to keep up with spiritually. It shouldn't take someone else to keep me in church. It shouldn't take me someone else to keep me in my Bible. It shouldn't take someone else to keep me praying. It shouldn't take me someone else to keep me motivated to serve the Lord. Whether you ever say something to me or someone else ever say something to me, shouldn't impact how I live my life for Christ. I ought to be able to pack my own backpack. I mean, hey, my car may break down. And I may need a friend to help take my kids to school. But that doesn't mean then that he's obligated to raise them and clothe them and feed them the rest of their lives. See, when we're only focused on our own burdens, one of the greatest motivations to be spiritually strong, it's not so that I don't have problems. Can I give you a newsflash? You're always going to have problems. Yeah, you say, yeah, I'm married to him for this many years, I know. You're always going to have problems. Can I give you another newsflash? You're always going to have a broken heart at some level. Can I give you another newsflash? There's always going to be something going on in your life that's bigger than you, that if God doesn't get in on, it's not going to happen. Didn't our special this morning, He's all I need?
Amen.
Do we mean that? He's all I need? He's all I need? And He wants to be that. He wants to be all you need. He wants to be the one you turn to first and foremost and all the time. He doesn't want you to get bigger in your own eyes than He is. So yes, there will always be these things. One of the greatest motivations to be able to pack my own backpack and bear my own burden is so that I am freed up and available to help you with what you have. Not that you're going to live off from me the rest of your spiritual life. That's called being a spiritual parasite. But I can help you along for a while until you get back up on your feet spiritually. But hey, and help you get a little stronger spiritually. Hey, take your kids to school, so to speak, for a couple weeks. Hey, but when I'm doing it 3 years later, now we got a problem. Yeah. But I'm saying that's what we do. Amen. And that's why it's important for us to be able to bear our own burdens. And then we go on down to verses 6 through 10. Look what the Bible says. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, he's getting into our purpose. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This has been used negatively, but God means it positively. Certainly, for he that soweth to the flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And notice what Paul goes on to say then. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Now we're talking about bearing burdens in the context of this chapter. When you live for other people, it'll wear you out. Doesn't it? When you bear other people's burdens, and there seems to be no return. Am I speaking to anyone this morning? No return. Or you see no change, or you feel there's no hope, You feel like you're wasting your time? That's between God and that person, or between God and those people. You and I, we don't know you're sowing good seeds. How do you know that those seeds aren't taking root in their lives? How do you know that there's not something inside of them that may sprout out later? How do you know? Who makes you and I God? Hey, you just keep sowing. It's not up to us to determine whether or not somebody's ever going to turn out for God, if we're going to be a help to someone. Our job is to try to help and trust the Lord, keep sowing those seeds, and not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, hey, listen, that's not in 1 week, and that's not in 1 month, and that may not be in 1 year. For in due season, the Bible says, we shall reap if we faint not. I'll tell you what happens why people quit serving God sometimes. Because they get tired of being disappointed. They get tired of feeling like no one cares for them, and all they do is spend their time caring for others. They get tired not feeling appreciated. Or you just get tired. Now go back with me to Mark chapter number 2. There's so much more to this story than I could fit in one message. Man, I'd love to talk about Jesus' little dialogue with the scribes and how he set them up. Because either he was being blasphemous or they were being blasphemous. If he was not God, then he was being blasphemous because he claimed authority to forgive. But if he was God and is God, then they were being blasphemous. Because they were accusing him of being blasphemous. And how that he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Only God has authority to forgive, power to forgive sins. He knew that. It's why he said it. He has power to forgive sins on the earth. He has the authority. But to let them know that, hey, if I've got which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, were they forgiven or not? No one could see it. Or rise up, take thy bed, rise up and walk, which you could see. So if I have the authority to do the miraculous over here, then I've got the authority to do that. And so he did tell that paralytic man, take up his bed, rise up and walk. And so he had the authority to do that, then he had the authority to do the first thing and forgive his sins. Which I had time to talk about the paralytic man. How that I believe when Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee, that whether or not his body was ever made whole, I believe he was rejoicing. And I believe even if the four that bore him in there with a broken body were to take him back home with a broken body, I believe he still would be rejoicing because he got to be in the presence of the Savior. And yes, his body was still broken, but his soul was made whole. And the temporal will only last for a while anyway, but he's going to live with Jesus forever. I would love to have time to tell you about that. But boy, I appreciate these four guys, don't you? The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, now, this man had to exercise his own personal faith in order to be forgiven. It's not like somebody else, Jesus is going to forgive someone else because of you. But you know, there are times where people will be blessed because of our faith. You can put people in position to be blessed by God because of your faith. You don't believe that? What about Abraham and Lot? You don't believe that? What about the children of Israel with Moses? You don't believe about that? How about those guys that were on a shipwreck with Paul towards the end of his life? Where God saved all those men alive because of one man's faith. These four guys each took up a corner. They were burdened for his burden. His burden didn't overburden them. Despite the inconvenience that it takes to bear another person's burden. Despite the calluses maybe that were developed on their hands. I don't know if he was on a cot, if he was on a sheet. But that man was not going to get help unless someone else had faith to get him where he needed to be. And they each got on a corner. They were part of a team. They got to the crowd. They couldn't get in. Hey, but at least they tried. I mean, at least they took off work and they did this or did the other and they made the effort. I mean, it was more than anyone else would have done. Hey, well, we can't get in, Sam. I'm sorry to tell you, we tried and I know this was an opportunity, but we'll try again tomorrow. Or listen, we'll find him when he's in another village nearby and we'll get you there, Sam. We promise you. But listen, Sam, at least we tried. And Sam would say, I know, guys. Listen, I appreciate that, fellas. You shouldn't even done this. I feel terrible that you guys would do this much for me. And look, that it matters to me that you tried. And that's all that I care about. The fact you guys cared enough about me to carry me this far. Oh, but no, they didn't go there to be denied. And they weren't just bringing him there for the effort to be all they were consumed with. And I think a lot of times we as Christians, we're satisfied with the effort and we're without the results. We're satisfied with the effort without going the extra mile and making sure that whoever we're burdened for, whoever we're trying to help, gets into the presence of Christ. And so Christ can do something miraculous in their life. They really believed in their hearts, if we could just get him in the presence of Jesus, Jesus can and Jesus will heal this man. Not that he might, but that he will. And we can't go back. He needs help now. And so you know the story. Now, those homes back then were flat roofed and they weren't necessarily very tall. And there usually were some stairs on the outside or a ladder of some kind that could get you up on top of that roof from the outside. But still, would you want to be on that cot? Being packed up a ladder? Being hoisted up there somehow? They got him on the roof, wasn't even their house. Many believe it was Peter's home. Talk about big mice. Peter, I told you, you're going to have to get rid of those mice. Now listen to them up there. Maybe Mrs. Peter was saying. And they took some tile off and whatever that was made of and made a hole big enough. Now understand, to get that cot down there, it wasn't a hole. It was a big hole. And stuff doesn't fall up. Are you with me? Stuff falls down. Do I need to go back and remind us how many people were in that house? Stuff falling all over the place. Jesus is teaching. How rude! Wasn't even her house. How rude! Jesus was teaching and they interrupted the master. How criminal! Who's going to replace what they broke? And they lowered this man down into the presence of Christ. And when Christ saw this, what I call spiritual ingenuity, a willingness to do whatever it takes, moral and legal, were that borderline legal, moral and legal, to lose ourselves in the needs of others, to bring someone to Christ. He saw their faith, and that man got healed. Who's riding on your faith today? Who are you carrying? Who are you willing, who are you doing, expending spiritual ingenuity for? Hey, listen, there's a reason why you see all these buses out here. There's a reason why. It's spiritual ingenuity. It's making a difference in hundreds of boys and girls coming to Christ. It's making a difference in teenagers coming to Christ. Hey, listen, yeah, those buses cost money. Yeah, those buses have to be repaired. Yeah, there takes a lot of workers to do it. But listen, are we worried about inconvenience? Are we worried about callous? Are we worried about ourselves? Are we more consumed with the burdens of others? There are many of you in a nursing home ministry. You use ingenuity. You're using creativity to help get those residents into preaching. You have music. Some of you are juggling. Some of you are swallowing. No, you're not doing that. But you're using music and talents and abilities you have, and you're using warm hospitality to get people to come into a room so you can share with them the glorious gospel of Christ. Amen. These missionaries, when they go to these other countries, in Myanmar they got to set up a business. They can't just go in as missionaries. Spiritual ingenuity. They started up a business over there that's actually for helping people. People go to China as missionaries and they have to go in there to teach language. Spiritual ingenuity. You know what's happened in our country? We Christians have lost our burden for lost souls. We've lost our burden for wayward souls. We've lost our burden for those that are drifting out of the will of God. We've lost our burden for the broken. We've lost our burden for the down and out. We lost our burden for the outcast. Because all of our time and energy is spent on us. I love telling the story. Dr. Arnold, I wish you could have known him. Dr. Lewis Arnold, you hear me talk about him a lot. I've only known him, knew him for a brief period of time towards the end of his life. One of those guys, like we read at the end of our text, we've never seen him this fashion before. That would sum up the ministry of Dr. Lewis Arnold. Boy, I've never seen him this fashion before. Dr. Arnold lived to be over 100 years old and served in full-time evangelism from the time he was in his early 20s. I think about almost 80 years in a ministry, full-time. You talk about a man with spiritual ingenuity. If you could try it, he tried it. He got his own pilot license because he wanted to be able to fly to more places, and he just self-trained. He was not formally educated in Bible college, but one of the most brilliant minds that I've ever met. And he wanted to be able to reach more people with the gospel, and he figured that the only way he can go to some places to do that is he's going to have to get his pilot license. So he got his pilot license and bought his own plane and would fly himself to different places, and he would preach the gospel. I mean, this guy would set up his own tent. He would go someplace and set up his own meetings, and it's just amazing how God used him over the years. Well, he figured that this was a time where, and believe it or not, he was cutting-edge technology when he started recording his messages on records. Now, if you're here and you don't know what a record is, Google that. Look it up. I don't have time to go into it. So he had all his messages on records. And he got an idea. I've got my pilot license. I've got this plane. There are a lot of places I can't go because they won't let me go in there and preach. And I don't know if anybody will listen. So what he did is he bought a speaker system and somehow rigged up his airplane where he could play his record, his sermons on the record player, and have these loud speakers on his airplane would be blasting out. And so what he would do, he'd fly as low as he could legally, and he'd have his sermon playing on that record player, and he would just hover around a neighborhood and preach to them. And then he'd go somewhere else and hover around a neighborhood and preach to them. And he had an airplane ministry. Well, there was a lady that was doing her dishes. She tells a story. I've actually talked to this lady and heard her testimony. She was doing her dishes. There used to be a time when you had to use these to do your dishes. If you don't know what that means, Google that. You can look that up. She's doing her dishes. The window was open. And she heard this noise outside, and she kept hearing, God, Jesus, God, Jesus. And she thought, and she went outside, and she couldn't see the plane, but all she could hear was this message coming from the sky, giving the gospel. Well, she thought it was God talking. She'd been under deep conviction. Somebody had been witnessing to her already. And she was hard-hearted, would not get saved. So she knew how to be saved. She knew she needed to be saved. She goes outside and she hears God talking from the sky about being saved. She drops to her knees, repents, and gets saved right then and there. Then, the next Sunday, she had to find a church to go to. She said, well, if I'm going to go to a church, I'm going to go to one where I know the gospel's preached. And there's nobody that preaches the gospel like Dr. Lewis Arnold. Little did she know, that was the one who was preaching from the airplane. So the next week, she goes to the church that he started and tells her story, and he says, that was me in the airplane preaching. And she gets baptized by Dr. Lewis Arnold, becomes a member of that church. You know, it's amazing what God will do when Christians, we lose sight of ourselves enough, forget about ourselves enough to bear one another's burdens. That was a question I asked you this morning. So do you care enough to carry? Do you care enough to carry? Father, please bless our invitation here this morning. Oh God, please. All we need, every generation does. It's not just ours. It's those who are willing to carry burdens that make a difference. Oh, it's those Christians. It's never because we have no burdens of our own. It's never because we have no needs of our own. It's never because we have no heartaches of our own. It's never because we have no problems or trials of our own. It's never that. But it's because of the fact that we understand that we're to carry one another's burdens and we're to love others the way you loved us, and you always loved us despite all that you had going on. Oh God, that today you'd speak to hearts. And there'd be some folks here that you would touch their heart more than just stirred emotionally. But God, a decision to be made about doing something of eternal value that would make a difference in the lives of others. A way to help carry the burdens of someone else in some way. Oh God, how we need burden bearers in our day. I pray you'd speak to hearts this morning and have your will accomplished in this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.